But today, just again, we're here to celebrate our Lord's resurrection. But you know, one of the things I wanted to just take a look at is you can't really look at the resurrection without looking at the 3 days that and three nights that he was in the heart of the earth, as the scripture is very clear that just as the Jonah was in the whale of the belly, he was in the heart of the earth similarly. And so you have to start looking at, okay, what actually happened? What, you know, when you look at that, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was a lamb led to the slaughter. He literally carried the sins of the world. He became sin. He just didn't take on sin. He literally became sin, and Satan became his master in hell. And it wasn't until sin was paid for, like in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. Well, before I go over there, Jesus, one of the things, you know, before he took on that sin and on the cross and was scourged, he was very clear. He knew who he was and why he came and what it would cost him. In 1 John 3:5, it said, and you know, this is, says, and you know, he was manifested to take away our sins. So he was that he was manifested for that purpose. 1 John 3:8, same chapter, said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. And he did. He destroyed his works. And so when we read the scripture, you know, sometimes people see a devil behind every tree and everything is caused by the devil. Sometimes it's your choices. But his authority has been stripped over you. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you have a new Lord. And it's not Satan. And his power has been broken over you. Now, it doesn't stop him to try to tempt you or to cause you to get off base. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit living in us to do what? He said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes not but for to what? Jesus speaking, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you have what? May have life and have it more abundantly. So his whole purpose came, he came to do what? Destroy the works of the devil and to give us an abundant life, an overcoming life. And so if we're not living that overcoming life, then we need to think about, okay, what? Why? Why am I not living an overcoming life? So he was very clear, and the scripture in John, let me just go over there, I'm sorry, in Romans chapter 4, in verse 25. Says he was handed over, this is a New Living Translation, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Now, what I like, one translation says he was raised when sin had been paid for. In other words, he was released from hell when sin was paid for. He couldn't have been released otherwise. So in other words, just like someone who's incarcerated in prison, once that has been paid for, once that offense has been paid for, you are released from prison. But I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you read Colossians chapter 2, and he goes on to share here, and I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation because it just is so wonderful. In starting in verse 10 in Colossians 2, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It says, "And our own completeness is now found in him." Your completeness is found in him. "We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. Sin's power has been broken over you and me." So you now can't say, "Well, the devil made me do it. I can't control." No, you made a choice because the power of sin has been broken because of what Christ did. And then it goes on in verse 12, "For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power." See that? That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. You can't be saved unless you believe he is the Christ and that he raised him from the dead. Because when you believe he was raised from the dead, that means so were you. So when you don't believe he was raised, he didn't go there for himself. He went there for you. So when he was raised from the dead, it means you were. And now you are above and not beneath. And it goes on, it says, this, the power that has raised him from death's realm, verse 13, "This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins." Verse 14, "He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record." Wow. He canceled every legal violation that was on our record. He canceled them out. And it says here, "And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved." You know, you ever hear that? You know, when someone's record is expunged, that means it's deleted and you can't find it. If you go digging around and try to find it, it can't be found. It's expunged. It's in the natural. "Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation." That's what the devil's trying to hold and hide from people that are lost. Because if they see the light of that, they'll begin to realize, Now, wait a minute. Why? No, Jesus did that for me. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. You know, I think about this, you know, sometimes we read these scriptures, and maybe we've never had a personal experience. I remember this one time, my sister was getting married. This is 40-some years. She's still married to this particular man, a good husband. But he's from Chile. My sister lives in Santiago, Chile. And so this is 40-some years ago. And they were having a bridal shower. So I was home. I was just reading my Bible. I was excited about the word. So I'm reading the Bible, and he was in the house, you know, just talking. We were talking. And so the more I read the Bible, he says, hey, let's go into the other room. So we went in the other room, and we're sitting at the dining room table. I'm probably about this close to Sal, just like this. We're talking, just talking the word. And he jumped up from the table and got right about here. And he beat his chest, and he said, the devil lives in here. And just that quick, it happened that quick. Boom! You didn't have time to think. It happened that quick. Just, he's there, his eyes were bright red, and it happened that quick. And God's spirit happened that quick. Because when it happened, it felt like a coat just dropped on me. Just that quick. It happened, and boom, and I came right up out of my spirit. It just came out, and I said, I am protected by the blood of Jesus. And I said, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected with the blood of Jesus. And as bold as he was, I mean, he beat his chest because it stirred demons up that were influencing him. And he went like this. And he turned around and he walked out of the room just that quick. He wouldn't look at me because he wouldn't look at the one that was in me. And so that's why I say, do not fear demonic activity. Don't go around thinking, you know, I'm walking in someplace and blah, blah. No, be as what? Meek as a lamb, bold as a lion. Know who you are and who lives in you, and don't fear. Because the greater one is in you. And so for 3 days, he wouldn't look at me. I walk in a room, he would turn around and walk out. He knew who I was. And I was there. I didn't try to be, you know, cocky or anything like that or goofy. I didn't try to do anything, but I knew who I was in him, in Christ. And so, you know, today I'm still believing God that, you know, he's a nice person. When I say nice, he just lost. And I'm believing God for his heart to change. But he's a good father. He's raised a good family. He's a good provider. But he's lost. You get my point? And that's why, I mean, when you're around people, I don't shun him. I'm not rude to him. I love him as a person. But, you know, he's lost. He needs Jesus. And we ought to be the same way with anybody who makes those kind of choices in life, whatever it is. Love people. Because if they don't accept Jesus, they will be eternally damned. I don't think you want that for anybody. Even your enemy. You wouldn't want that. So the greater one lives in us. And this is the excitement that we have with resurrection, that we've been raised from the dead. This is Ephesians, that exceeding greatness of his power, and which is in Ephesians chapter 1. Why don't we look at that a moment? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. This is Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus. New Living Translation says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. Isn't that interesting how we can see the contrast of Paul writing in 2 Corinthians, where he says, Satan, who has blinded the minds of those who are lost, those that don't believe. And yet here he's talking to the church and saying that you would know the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. Isn't that interesting? This is the same mighty power. Remember we were singing this morning, same power, same power, same power that raised Christ. This exceeding greatness of God's power is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. For the benefit of the church. And then it goes on, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we are complete. And then verse 23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. So the source of our authority is found in the resurrection. Think about this. The source of our authority is found in the resurrection and seating of Christ in God. He is seated in heavenly places. He was raised from the dead and seated far above all authority. And so our authority, the source of our authority is found in that, in his resurrection and seating. And we are in him, we're in Christ. So our authority is found in Christ. That's exciting to me. So as we read in the book of Ephesians here, God wants the church to gain this revelation knowledge and all that it means. We should not walk beneath the privileges that God has given us. God is looking for a church that will rise up, walk in the love of God, and walk in the Word of God, be led by His Spirit, and operate in the power of God. He wants us to have that revelation, that insight. You know, we talk about revelation in the Word of God. So often people make it such a hard thing or a mysterious thing. It says in Psalm 119, 130, what does it say? The entrance of his word brings light. And one of the translations says the entrance of his word unfolds and reveals revelation. So the more you read the Word of God, that's when we go, wow, I never saw that before. How many of you have been around family members that all of a sudden they start reading something and they're telling you, I never knew that was in there. I never read that before. That's called an aha moment. That's called revealing the unfolding of His Word. Well, the more you read His Word, the more you meditate in it, the more you look at it, it gives light. It gives understanding. It reveals truth to our hearts. And that's all He's saying here, is that we would understand, and the revealing of the power of God that caused Jesus to be raised from the dead, He's saying that revelation would come to you and you would understand that. Well, when you understand that, you're not going to walk defeated. You're going to walk through this earth knowing who you are, and you're going to begin to use the authority that you have. Because now you know it. You say, well, I've got some authority in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to just walk through this earth and just be stepped on by the devil. I'm not going to do that. How many, you know, I just share this. Guy Pei was with us a week or so ago, and he's traveled to probably over 100 areas of this world, and been all over the world since he's a young man, and still traveling with his family. And he said, you know, when I go into areas like China, India, you know, in other areas, he said, you can just sense that the oppression, the darkness is so strong. And I said, you know, for me, when I leave, like from New York City, if I'm flying out of New York City and I go out to Oklahoma, I'll go out to Rhema Bible Campus to have some meetings. I said, the minute I fly into Oklahoma, it's a different atmosphere. And I sense it. I just go, you're a spirit, so you ought to sense something. And you already do. A lot of times we just don't know it. You have Him living in you. So when you sense things, you go, this doesn't seem right in here. This doesn't feel right. You know, we use those terms that don't feel right. It's your spirit sensing something. And when you are a spirit. So when I leave certain areas and go into certain areas, you can just sense the darkness and the grip that Satan has on that area. You can go into certain areas and you just sense the darkness. And yet, when you go out in that area in Oklahoma, you've had Oral Roberts. You've had ORU University. You have other Bible schools out there that have been out there for 60, 70, 80 years. And it's pushed back darkness, and it doesn't have a grip on that area. And you can fly into that area and you go, huh, it's different out here. Well, what caused that to be different? It was the church praying and establishing a foothold in that area, and it pushed darkness out of that area, and you can see clearer. You just see things clearer out there. Well, when you get the devil operating through people and it gets a foothold in an area, you start to see the effects of it in society. Not blaming society, but darkness begins to affect people and blinds them, and then society just goes haywire because God is not influencing the people in that society. So what is the church supposed to do? Just lay down and complain? No, we're to walk in resurrection life. We're to walk in the power of God. That same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so when we go into areas, whether it's your job, whether it's your the neighborhood you live in, and you say, doesn't mean, you know, I'm just going to complain, lay down. You say, no, Satan, you can't have a hold of this area. I'm binding you. I'm commanding you to leave this area in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus. And you walk in the authority. Didn't say it was going to be comfortable, because you may have to fight that. It didn't happen overnight. Darkness didn't get a grip in your neighborhood overnight. It was allowed in. And now it needs to be kicked out. The same thing that's going on in this country. You see darkness, you see all kinds of stuff happening, and it surfaces and manifests in all kinds of ways. We see people being not kind to other people. You see all the racial injustice, that's the devil causing hatred in a country. One people fighting another people. It's ungodly. But the minute you get the church rising up and begin to take authority, it will affect society. The laws will change properly. The people will change, the hearts of people will change, and they will begin to do what? Love people. But it's going to take the church having this revelation of the resurrection power of God in them and operating them and not tolerating stuff in your society and not tolerating things. That's what it's going to take. Because if you think people are just going to be so wonderful to just, you know, the people are going to complain and they're going to make laws to make it flow the way you think, good luck. Because it's like a carrot. The devil will have you chasing after something, and then you get down the end of that road and it's a dead end. The only truth is God's word. That's it, period. And you get your mind renewed and you begin to walk in resurrection life. You begin to walk in the authority that God has given the church. He took our sins, went to hell. He's, what's the scripture? He is the second Adam. So he came to restore to mankind that which Adam lost. We are to be rulers and rule and reign in this earth. Not subject to all the junk. And not subject to the devil who's influencing people. To just control people. You see it. People, they want to control things. What is that? That's Satan. That's the devil. He wants to control people through people and suppress people. And so we need to rise up, not protest, do all that kind of stuff. No, wake up and rise up and walk in the authority that Jesus won for us. Says he came to destroy the works of the devil. He did. So that means we're to operate in it, walk in it. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is the Passion Translation. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. So God was in Christ reconciling the world. And when sin was paid for, This is what 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit." He was quickened by the Holy Ghost, quickened by the Spirit, raised from the dead. Amen. Glory to God. Let me read this again. I want to read some. Close with this. I like the different translations. This is Colossians 2:15. When it says, "He spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it." The CEV version, Contemporary English Version, says, "There Christ," meaning in hell, "defeated all powers and forces. He let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory." The Amplified Classic, "God disarmed the principalities and powers." He disarmed them. Always keep this in mind. When he went to hell, he became sin. But when sin was paid for, he was justified in hell and raised from the dead out of hell. So he overcame Satan in his own territory. So that's why when you walk into an area that's been gripped by Satan and it's his territory, you can do the same thing as Christ. You can walk into that area anointed by him, full of the Holy Ghost, and do what? Overcome. Take back areas that he has taken hold of. It's the light of the gospel that will cause victory. Hallelujah. So, God today, he reconciles 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, "God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them." So we can stand today as Christians. God is not holding your sins against you. He's wanting us to do what? Serve him, love people. Walk in the truth of his word. Walk in victory in this earth. And so, the one thing that we know from Scripture is that because of resurrection, we will be raised from the dead when he returns. We will be caught up. What does the Scripture say? We will be caught up together with those that have been raised. We'll be caught up together with them to meet him in the air. So whether or not someone has died and their remains are in the earth, or whether you're alive, he is coming soon. And believe me, it's a lot sooner than I think people realize. If you just look around and look at the signs of the times, and you look at all of the prophecies that needed to be fulfilled, we are closer to the return of Christ than people realize. And he is coming back for a glorious church. And when he comes, we will be caught up together with those that have died to meet him in the air. So it's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting time to know that he loves us and that he lives in us. And I'll tell you, he's returning soon. real soon. I know we were back in 2013, I believe it was, we were out at Rhema and Pastor Hagen was on the stage. He said, I'm having a vision. He said, I can, he was standing at the pulpit. He said, I'm having a vision. I can literally see into eternity. And he said, the veil that separated this realm and eternity is so thin, he said, you can see right into eternity. He said, we are so close to the return of Christ. And really, you can just look at all that's going on around us, and you can see, as they say, the signs of the times. We can see it. So it's best to get our lives right. It's best to walk in the love of God. It's best to get everything, you know, reach people that don't know Christ. Because it's that time. You know, when Pastor Clinton was alive, before he, the founder of this church, he said, you know, a lot of people think it's going to take hundreds of years for this end time big influx of people coming into the body of Christ. He said, when we look at technology and where it is today, you know, I keep in touch with people right now. I mean, I keep in touch with people that run Rhema schools in Kenya, Austria. I just text. We're texting back and forth. We're communicating. This is where we live. And the gospel is going to be spread in areas that were unreached in an instant. So it's not going to take, technology has been put in place where the gospel can be spread. I mean, we have just in our own website, we have people from China accessing it. We have people from, I mean, we get a report. All these people from different countries are looking at your material. You couldn't do that before. So the gospel is already being spread around the world. It's not going to take long. So some people think, well, you know, I just get my life right, you know, and everything. You'll never get your life right without Christ. I don't care how hard you work, without eternal life in you, without Him taking up residence in you to help you live an overcoming life, you'll never live right and get it right. That's impossible. So tell people, look, He's coming soon. You need to get your life right. Accept Christ. Accept Him into your heart, and He will help you overcome. He'll help you to live right. You know, so many people, you know, you talk to, they're struggling with addictions and they're struggling with things. Well, you know, I need to get it right before I come to Christ. No, you don't. Just come. Come the way you are, and He'll help you. He said, here, He's already forgiven all your sins. So you trying to get it right, He already did it right. He already took that. All you need to do is come and accept Him. And that's all it takes. You know, I remember this minister, he said, a guy came to him, he said, can you help me? He said, yeah. He said, you know, I have this addiction to smoking. And he said, can you help me? He said, sure. He said, I really want to give it up. I really want to give up smoking. And he said, just say you've been delivered, because Christ already bore that. He took the power of sin. He already broke that. So you just start saying, I'm delivered. He said, yeah, but I'm still smoking. He said, yeah, he said, say it while you're puffing. He said, is that a problem? He said, no. So why are you taking a drag? Why are you sucking on that cigarette? Say, I'm delivered. And he said, I don't get it, but I'll do it. And he said, he'd be smoking, I'm delivered of cigarettes. I'm delivered of cigarettes. And he said, one day, after a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks, he said he was smoking. He went, ugh, and he threw it down. And he was delivered. the desire to smoke just left them. It was already there. Jesus already took the power of sin and broke it, but what activated the power of God to work in him? His faith. His faith activated God to begin working in his life, and he took that desire away. Just the power of God took it away. And all he did was, while he's smoking, he said, I'm delivered. And he sincerely wanted to be delivered from it. I don't care what it is. You could have drinking problems. You could have extramarital affair problems. You could have pornography, whatever. The list is endless. And all you need to do is believe in God. He's already forgiven and broken the power of that sin. He's already broken it. And all one has to do is believe in that resurrection power and that life. Receive him and activate your faith, which means what? I believe he did that for me. God, I believe you did. I'm struggling with this. I believe you did that for me, and I'm delivered. Even while you're struggling with it. And then you keep doing that, and bah, power of God comes, gets activated in you. And all of a sudden, you don't have the desire anymore. I remember, I'll just say this, you know, when I was growing up, before I got saved, you know, I started working in construction. You know, I went to college, and while I was going to college, I worked construction. So I'm around a lot of construction people. And we had a different vocabulary. It was a four-letter vocabulary. And we cursed at everything. I don't care. It was my adjectives, my adverbs, everything, all the color of the rainbow. It was colorful, you know. I cursed at everything. And so I wasn't raised that way. I was raised in a Christian home. If I had cursed in home, I'd have been rearranged. For real. I remember one time, boy, oof. I was in the car, I just said something. My father grabbed around like this, grabbed me, and I said, whoops, I went too far. So, you know, I'm saying, if I had cursed, so I could turn it on and off because I knew where to and where not to. Right? The very moment I got saved, the very moment I got saved, I remember it. I was in an Assembly of God church. I asked Jesus to come in my heart. And that day, things were going on in here after I got saved. And I like to race cars, so I came home. I'm working on my car. I was underneath the car. I had a sports car, and under there, and I did something, and I whacked my hand. And normally, I'd have been let off a litany of curses. Nothing came out. And I put that wrench down and I said, what happened to me? I'm serious. I was laying on the ground. Because it was so natural for me to curse. When I hit my hand, nothing came out. And I did. I put the wrench down. I said, what happened to me? I got saved. I'm a new creature. My spirit changed. It went from death to life. So that old man was removed, and all the cursing was removed. Now, yeah, I mean, if I could, you know, it's like reading language. You could curse if you want to, but in the what was coming out of my spirit was cursing, and it doesn't now. So you can't tell me the power of Satan hasn't been broken over my life. It's been broken. He has no reign or rule over me. He can't control me anymore. And he can't control you if you're born again. You're brand new. And that same power, that same resurrection life that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Whoo, boy, that's exciting. That's exciting to me. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. You know, and that's why, you know, I believe that with all my heart. That's what's missing. You know, when I hear Pastor Mark Hankins talk about that, he says, every religion in the world has good stories, but only Christianity has life, has resurrection life, has a Savior that was raised from the dead. Only Christianity gives life, eternal life. And so we have the power of God in us. Let's walk in it. Let's operate in it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you that you rose from the dead. Thank you that Jesus is Lord. Thank you that his power consumes us and fills us. And we thank you for it. Thank you that we're brand new. Thank you that the devil's power has been broken over our lives. Thank you that he has no power over us anymore. And we command his power and his influence to back up in our lives and leave us in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every sickness, every disease, every evil thought, and we cast it down in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you glory today. We thank you that this area that we live in, we thank you that it shines brightly. And we thank you that Jesus is Lord over this area. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, before we leave, you know, we never leave a service without giving anyone an opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior, because it would be remiss if we didn't do that. And the scripture is very clear. I'll just read it so everybody hears it, so that we are all on this, as they say, all hearing the same thing. But Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, reading from the King James, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you confess that with your mouth, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you profess that and believe it, then the scripture is very clear. You shall be saved. That just means that your heart has been changed. You've become a brand new person in Christ. So let's say this today, if you're here, you've never done that, or maybe you have done it, and maybe you need to recommit, dedicate your life to him. Let's say this: Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. I confess that. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, so was I. So I thank you that you've now made me the righteousness of God in Christ. I thank you for cleansing me with the blood of Jesus. And I will serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that and you meant that, just let us know and we'll give you some information about who you've become in Christ. Because as far as God's concerned and his word, you're saved. You're a brand new person in Christ. You may not feel any different. And I always say, if you're tall, you're fat, you're skinny, you're still tall, fat, and skinny on the outside, but you're full of him on the inside. Amen. Amen. Praise God.